Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, the journalist of the Irish Independent, Sinead Ryan, put up a tweet yesterday referring, she was talking about the hidden homeless, people you don't expect to be homeless. And see, we are going, some of you are going to take offence to even that. And she said, and what's most evident is that these are articulate, middle-aged or middle-class educated women. She was referring to a section of women who said that they were at a certain point in their life where they shouldn't be homeless. They should have something to show for it, and they've nothing to show for it. Maybe they've been separated. I don't know, maybe they had something or they lost their job and they lost their home, whatever. Anyway, she says, not the type that can sometimes be described as homeless. And people took huge exception to this and said, what in the hell are you talking about? What are the type that are homeless? You know, please stop that. Everybody knows exactly what she's trying to say, and all you're doing is being pedantic. I mean, she was referring to the hidden homeless, which is a conversation that's happening in the media over the last 24 hours. And we talked about it last week when we spoke to Darianne at night on the air. But I decided that's an important conversation that needs to happen during the day to the wider audience. Now, Sinead said nothing wrong. And, you know, it's people that have an issue with what she said, and they're just being pedantic. Let's be clear, anybody can end up homeless or without a permanent home, but it would be ridiculous to suggest that people don't have a preconceived idea or image for what a homeless person might be. If I said to somebody tomorrow, or if I said to most of you tomorrow, draw me a picture of a homeless person, or here's a load of pictures of people, and they're all different types of people of different classes, which one of them is homeless? You'd point one of them out. And I know exactly what you'd point out. The one that looks like a hobo. The one that looks like they're in poverty. The one that maybe is a little bit dishevelled looking. The one that looks like they might be on drugs or an alcoholic. Now, it doesn't always mean that that's the one that's homeless. But that's the preconceived notion that you have. And that's all she was saying. It's not the type that you would normally think. That homelessness can affect everybody and anybody at any time in their life. Now, we do see documentaries about homelessness all the time. The typical person would be down and out. They may have a drug or alcohol issue. More recently, we've seen that it's younger mothers with children who find it difficult to keep a job because they need to care for their children and they end up in temporary accommodation. But what about the person that has always had a home and maybe raised their children and through no fault of their own lost that home because they maybe lost their job or they retired and they couldn't afford it anymore? You know, or separation and divorce, you know, just can't make ends meet anymore. Because we all know, of course, particularly if you're living in a city, the property market is outrageous at the moment. You just heard Beth talking about renting properties there. I mean, to rent a one-bedroom apartment now in Dublin, you're looking at $2,000. A one-bedroom apartment. And that's small. So if you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you could forget about it. Now, they may be in their 50s with no prospect of ever owning their own home again in their lives. And the person who is renting a one-bed dump of a flat after living in a nice home with a family all their life, they may feel helpless and homeless and hopeless. There are so many men and women that are middle-aged and will now never own a home. If they've never had a successful relationship, for example, it may be next to impossible to rent on their own because they need to share the cost with somebody. I'm not suggesting you go out and find a boyfriend or girlfriend just so you can share the cost. But if you've never been in a relationship or you're not in a relationship, you're out of the property market. Because you can't even rent a one-bed apartment unless you happen to have $2,000 spare a month. At least if you have two people, you can share it at $1,000 each. But do we all have a right to own a home? Or is this just a kind of socialist concept? They say that most of us are one paycheck away from being homeless. Now, that's true to some extent, although banks in this country tend to be a little bit more cooperative when you're down and out and you're down on your luck. Some will say that it's not the taxpayer's fault and we can't pay for everybody's bad outcomes in life. I mean, we have a very good social welfare system in this country, which will ensure that everybody has shelter and food. And you certainly won't starve to death in Ireland. That's for sure. So we do have a good social welfare system. Some people will fall through the cracks, but we do have a decent social welfare system. But should we do more? Forget about people who are living on the streets. Forget about the mums who are in temporary accommodation with the kids. What about the people who got divorced or separated? Or people who, for whatever reason, lost their home and have always had a home? And now they find themselves in their 50s, they're not going to get a mortgage, they're never going to own their own home, and they're completely priced out of the rental market. They're essentially homeless, and maybe living on a sofa, maybe living back in their mother's house, maybe living in a hotel, cheap hotel or something like that. We'll get around to that in a minute. Maybe all those things. The number's 087-188-0008. Should we do more for those who end up in that hopeless situation, who have worked all their lives? I'm not talking about people who've been wasters all their lives either, by the way. People who've been unemployed for their whole lives and have taken advantage of a system. I'm talking about people who have worked their whole lives, maybe paid a mortgage at one point and lost it all. Should we do more for them? Because this is the conversation over the last 24 hours, that they're the hidden homeless. The people, for example, I listened yesterday to a mother who had two or three kids and she felt helpless and homeless. She said, you know, she's barely she's renting and barely making ends meet. She's never going to own her own home. I heard a man talking about the fact that he was in a relationship all his life, had a house, everything. Everything gone, taken away from him when the relationship broke up. Gone, lost the house, bank took it back. Nothing. Ends up with nothing. All that money paid in for nothing. So people end up in a bad situation later in life. Can we do more to help them? Or should we be doing more? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Maybe you've been in that situation. 087-188-0008. James, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits. How you doing, James?
Good afternoon, Niall. Good to talk to you again.
Good afternoon, James. Now, you know, a man of senior years like yourself,
yes,
James.
Say where I am now, Niall. An old codger. What you usually say.
An old codger like yourself, James. In your day, it wouldn't have been quite as difficult because, you know, Cork County Council, Dublin Corporation at the time would have been, you know, flinging houses out at £3 a week. You know, and it was easy enough to get yourself a house, I suppose, to some degree, was it?
Well, Niall, you know, sometimes I get very amused when people say, ah, James, you lived in the bad old days. Now we've progressed so much. And I look around and I hear all these terrible stories now. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was a very, very small boy, because I don't remember us moving into the house that we moved into, but my father bought a house here on the north side, his first house, because before that he had been renting, because he was not long married. And the house he bought on the north side was a four-story terraced house with a back garden.
Nice.
That's the house I grew up in now.
Yeah.
And my father never had a mortgage now.
Yeah.
He bought it for cash. And it was 700 punts now.
I was going to say, how much would it have been? Well, no, it wouldn't have been punts. It would have been pounds.
Pounds, yes. Well, I suppose pounds, I would have used the word punts in the Irish, but 700 pounds. And
I'm trying to remember, actually. When did we change to punts? That was in the 80s, was it?
I suppose, yes.
Yeah.
But that was the day, and you know, when young people hear that now, they don't believe me now. When I tell young people that, they say, James, you're having us on. You're having us on when we can't even get a one-bedroom apartment for that every...
So where are you living there now? Is that where you live now?
The North Side, always in the North Side.
No, is that the same house you live in now, the family home?
No. That's long gone now. But we were there for about 20 years before we moved. It was very close to the city centre now.
Yeah.
And in flats now, actually.
I was going to say, can you imagine how much that property's worth now?
Oh, he turned it into flats, the fellow who bought it.
Yeah.
And there was rooms to burn now. We had rooms all over the house. There was a basement, a big back garden. Now it went onto the street now. We didn't have any front garden. But as I said, my father never had a mortgage. And then when he sold that now, 20 years later, that house that he sold 20 years later, around 1970, it bought the house out in the suburbs.
Yeah.
More or less.
But that's great, and that's the ideal situation.
You
work yourself up the ladder, and that's always the way it's been, right? But here's the situation, James. What happens if somebody's in a good situation? Maybe they're in a relationship. And you spoke to Derry Ann there.
Yes, I was listening. I'm very sad to hear that now.
Yeah,
lady. I've been listening to her for years. I know we hadn't heard her for a while. I was wondering why she wasn't on, because she used to be a regular contributor. Now I know why she wasn't on, because she was other things to deal with.
That's absolutely. She had gone through a bit of a difficult time in her life.
Yes.
Okay, so and worked all her life. People pay tax all their lives.
Yes.
And then you lose everything. You know, the bank comes along, and then the people you're renting off are selling their house, and you're literally out on your ear. You think you might be out on your ear.
I've heard those stories now, unfortunately, here in Cork. People, very intelligent, well-educated people, and certainly things can go wrong. And
so, I mean, at 50, then you find yourself in your 50s or whatever it is, or your 60s, and there you are, helpless, homeless, feeling worthless, and you've lost everything. Everything.
Yeah, it's actually much harder when you're older now. So you can put up a lot when you're 20, 25. You can sleep here, sleep there, hop off over to England, maybe emigrate. But in 50s, most people want to be settled now, and they have been settled.
But you're not going to get a mortgage at 50. You know what I mean?
No,
well, you will, but it's 15 years. You won't get a mortgage if you're, like, in my age. I'm not going to get a mortgage.
No, I'm sure. I suppose not now.
So, what should we be doing more to help? what's called, I suppose, the hidden homeless.
Oh, yeah, I would agree now. I mean, even now recently I was listening to the Minister for Children, who's also in charge of direct provision, as you know now.
Yeah.
And they're going to completely overhaul that now, he said. And what we're going to get the situation we're going to get to, the minute you come here looking for asylum, we're going to put you into your own turnkey accommodation.
But yes, if your application is successful,
yeah,
you'll be into...
Oh, no, before that now.
Well, no, I think that's based on the fact that they're going to speed up the application process. And
yes,
they said within... within 3 months, wasn't it?
He wants to get rid of the whole idea of being inside in any type of direct provision.
Well, that's ridiculous. Yeah, yeah.
So if we can do that now,
with the greatest respect, James, that's a bit of a pipe dream. You know what I mean? Because unless they speed up the process, that's not going to work. Or just let everybody have a free for all.
Yeah, but even the idea of it now. I mean, even them aiming towards it. I mean, shouldn't we be first of all looking after people who are here and have contributed all their lives, than people who just arrived and we don't know who they are, whether they ever contribute? Not that I'm, you know, I don't want to be saying anything about people coming in. We must look after people, yes, but we have to look after people here who have been here all their lives. And
so, how do you look after somebody? I mean, how do you make it more affordable for somebody to own their own home? It does come back to that constitutional right to own your own home. We don't have a constitutional right; you have a constitutional right to shelter. But how do you get somebody back into a good situation?
Well, I suppose, Niall, if you end up being divorced, we're saying you're out of their house, and, well, you're not going to be in a position, Niall, to start and getting a mortgage again, because you might be paying the mortgage of the person that you've separated from, whatever situation you're in. So you're going to have to go into rented accommodation. If you're the husband, I mean, I wouldn't be as well up on the rules now of what happens. You are, Niall, obviously, well up on what happens in a divorce.
Well, okay, well, then use me as an example, through no fault of my own.
Well, yeah, I know, I hope you're not still in the Trevor Lodge, are you?
Well, I am, yes.
Oh, well,
so here's the thing. By definition, I'm homeless.
Yes.
So I went through a divorce, I was asked to leave the family home, and I now live in the Trevor Lodge. That's where I live because, you know, it's kind of expensive to get a one-bedroom apartment in Dublin. It's probably unaffordable with other bills that I have to pay as well. So I'm in a bad situation. But look, I'm not complaining about it. I'll get through it. But it does make you feel rather helpless and...
Oh, it's a very unpleasant place to find
at 57, well, 58, sorry, it was my birthday the other day at 58. So.
I know, I'm not saying I'm not saying you're old or anything, but you, at your age, you've had a home for years now.
No, look, thankfully, I'm in a situation where I have a decent income.
Well, that's...
No, don't get me wrong, I'm not Joe Duffy by any stretch of the imagination.
That's a blessing now, that's some blessing at least.
But I have an okay income, so I can just about afford it.
I find that unbearable now, even if I went back to when I was your age, I'd find that unbearable now. Especially if I had a home for years, because home is so important now. Especially if you've had it for years, it's the centre of everything. You can put up with a lot now once you have your own roof over your head and your own front door.
So what do you do? But leave me aside.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What do you do when there's... And I listened to a woman yesterday talking about the helplessness of just about being afford her rent with her child. She had one child, I think. And she said she was, I don't know, 50 years of age or something like that. She said, I'm never going to own a home. Never going to own a home. Through no fault of her own. It was just the way the cookie crumbled.
Yes.
Is that just it then? Is that just the way you're expected to be then, even though you've worked all your life, like Derianne, who spoke to us last week, who've worked all her life, she worked in Aer Lingus all her life,
in a great job.
Unfortunately, her marriage broke up, similar situation. She ended up, you know, literally out on the street.
Yes, for sure.
And in rented accommodation where they're going to sell the accommodation.
And you're probably also in a situation, I'd say you've still got two dependent children now.
I do, yes.
I know your son, the eldest son is away on his own now.
I don't want to get too much into my own personal situation because I can't for obvious reasons.
Oh, I know that.
But yes, I do have two dependent children.
Yeah.
And so what do people do in that situation? I mean, this has been the conversation for the last 24 hours. Last night I was watching it on the TV. It was on the radio yesterday as well. They were talking about this idea of the hidden homeless. In other words, people who become homeless, I suppose, by circumstance.
Well, I'm glad it's been brought out now. It should be very much brought out. I mean, I know when you think about people who are on the street, we have people here on the street in Cork and they're begging and that. Quite often, of course, in some cases now, people go on the streets, they're begging. People think they're homeless, but some of them are not actually homeless now. Mm-hmm. They're living in social housing and they're drinking and they're taking drugs, but they have actually accommodation. And we have Roma around the streets who are, they appear to be homeless, and they have beautiful homes near me up here on the north side and council houses now, built specially for them. But they go into the town looking around and they present this terrible, sad picture. And actually, they have beautiful, modern social housing.
Yeah, well, I mean, by the way, I don't want to just pick on Romas. I know. I'm just saying, there are many Irish people who are doing the same thing, who are pulling the wool over the system. I mean, I understand that. And I know what you're trying to say. Yes. And I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
But there are other people who do that too, you know what I mean? And there are people who are pulling the wool over the system's eyes, so to speak.
And of course, also, when you, many of the people, not to be criticised, people who are drug addicts, but they're homeless quite often by their own hand now. They've had,
their families have had
to put them out because of their behaviour.
Yeah, but that's not what I want to talk about today. Because I did mention at the start the item that Sinead Ryan made this comment about not the type that can sometimes be described as homeless. And she's been castigated for saying that because people said, what type are normally homeless? And I think we'd be foolish to believe for a minute that we don't have an image of a homeless person.
Yes, of course.
Of course we do. Yep. So, I mean, everybody, when they think of homelessness, they think of drug addiction, alcohol, we think of people, maybe a young mother with a lot of children and temporary accommodation, because that's the perceived notion of homelessness so far. But now everybody's talking about this new type of homeless.
Well, yes, and they should be talking about it now, and they should be talking about it in the Dáil. I hope they will be. And I hope that the TDs bring it up and this. And see, of course, and a lot of these people now, like Derry, and they're very proud now. They don't.
As I would be too.
They don't want to go for to places like the Vincent de Paul or go to people.
And I've had one or two people, friends of mine, and nicely would say to me, you know, look, if you want to go over and sleep on my sofa, or you want to look, I have a spare bed in my house, but I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I've never had to do that in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to start doing it at this point in my life.
No, see, that's the thing. And that's why they're more hidden, because they won't come forward sometimes and they'll suffer an island silence because they won't go to...
But I can tell you, it is depressing, James.
They won't go to Katrina Toomey and Penny Dinners because they have a certain pride. They never took anything from anybody, Niall.
Well, it is depressing. I have to go to break, James. Say it if you want. The number's 087-188-0008. I'm talking about the hidden homeless, and it's been on the news over the last 24 hours. But people who find themselves in a circumstance whereby they just do not have a home anymore. And they've lost their home through whatever. A lot of the time, by the way, would be through divorce or separation, which a lot of the time would be men. Then there are women as well who find themselves in that situation through no fault of their own as well because of maybe separation or divorce. Or maybe they lost their job and the bank took their house back off them. And now they're 50, 60 years of age. And they're destined never to own a home again. And they've worked all their lives. I mean, is there anything we can do? Or is that kind of some sort of socialist idea that there's something we can do to help those people? Because we do help homeless people. We try our best, certainly, with as any amount of organisations out there to help the homeless. But the number is 087-188-0008. Should we be doing anything? Is everybody entitled to a home, or have I got it all wrong? All right, so you're texting me, and Richie says, I'm not sure if it's a PC issue. I think the problem is, speaking about Sinead Ryan, is she couldn't give a you-know-what when the homeless were uneducated working-class men, but now they're educated professional women, so all of a sudden it's an important issue. He said, if you want to go down the PC road, would it be acceptable for her to refer to a terrorist as a type, or a child-grooming type, or a gang-banging type? Okay, so I think the point he's making is, I think it's different when you're talking about homelessness. I think to suggest we don't have a perceived notion of what a homeless person is or what they look like would be a bit silly, because everybody does have a perceived notion because we see it in documentaries all the time, but that doesn't mean that is real. Let me go to Martin. Martin, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Martin?
Not too bad today, now.
Good. But there is a perceived notion of the word homelessness, isn't there?
Oh, there is, yeah, without a doubt. You know, we all think of the tramp on the street or the person who can't sort of get themselves through the day. You know, I mean, that's always been a fact of life. You know, but the thing is with the current situation that we're in, I mean, we're still in the broken housing market and the financial collapse and all the issues that were never properly addressed, you know, that are all coming to the surface now, you know. But, you know, having said that, you know, we live with this broken housing model, but there's always been people like you and me, you know, who've had divorces and we've had to find a new way of life, you know, later on in life. You know, there's always been that, but the situation is that there has always been some way of finding something to fall back on. But that's not there anymore because the government adopted, you know, a while back to actually abdicate its responsibility for looking after a country and its citizens, and primarily focused on building economies and keeping, you know, the golden circle in the the riches they're accustomed to. You know? So we've lost the way of actually dealing with society in a holistic fashion, because we've gone and made housing, mm-hmm. you know, a cash cow. So now we've got this situation where, you know, it'll be two people and two lodgers who can afford a house, not just, you know...
Well, that's what I mentioned earlier on. Nowadays, you really have to be in a relationship to own a home, because you're not going to get a mortgage otherwise. Well, unless you have a very good job. As somebody mentions here, homeless and live in my car, and the money I have, I use to keep warm and get food. Lost everything, wife, job and home. And that's a very typical story. Stay with me, Martin, just for a second, if you can as well. I want to go to Sarah too. Sarah, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Sarah?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good, Sarah. I mean, this conversation's been going on now for 24 hours on all media now, it seems. The kind of hidden homeless, the homeless we don't think about.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my dad was in that situation. Like, he owned his own business for years, like, worked hard, owned his own business. Now, he was renting a house because him and my mom separated or whatever. But like that, the rent was crazy. So he lost his business and then he couldn't pay the rent. And he tried to go through the council to try turn the house into one of the council houses.
Yeah.
But long story short, they couldn't because she didn't sign for the rent landlord, thing. So he became homeless. He couldn't afford it. And now he's living on top of a pub. And, like, he doesn't drink, he doesn't anything like that. It was just he fell hard, and there's people there that actually live with him.
What age is he, Sarah?
He's 57.
Yeah, okay, around the same age as myself. Yeah, okay. So, and that seems to be the age which people find themselves most vulnerable, because you're not going to get a mortgage at 57 years of age.
He's not, and he left school when he was, like, 14 years of age back then. Like, so he doesn't really, like, he has his occupation or whatever, but he hasn't actually got a qualification. He's just done it for years, you know, that kind of way.
And here's a man who's worked hard all his life.
Yeah, and this is the way it is. And he keeps ringing the council, and they're like, yeah. Now, there is a shortage on one bed, but he's been there for 2 years now, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sure he's not happy. I'm sure it's not making him feel any better. I mean, it doesn't help his self-confidence, and it doesn't help his self-esteem and everything else.
Definitely not, like, especially because, like, there is people, like, he was saying there to me yesterday that on top of the pub, he went upstairs and there was loads of people wandering around, and he just said it's crazy, like, you know, but they keep fobbing him off, and, like, there's people there with professions living there next to him, like, you know, they're not all just, like, alcoholics and junkies as people think, like, you know. But
yeah, so what is the answer? I mean, is it that I'm not saying we shouldn't focus on what we typically believe are homeless people, of course, and homeless people who are living on the streets. And then I suppose over the last few years, we've talked a lot about, say, young women with children who find themselves in temporary accommodation, homeless. But we don't talk about this type of homelessness a lot. What should we be doing? I mean, should there be more there for people like that?
Yeah, there should be. Yeah. And it's hard because, like, he is trying to rent, even if there's a HAP or something like that. So, but the rent is crazy. Like, say he gets a limit of whatever it is, he's a single man.
Yeah, he's never going to get enough. Yeah,
he's never going to, like, you know, that kind of way. So I don't know what it's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what happened to sort of my generation and people that I knew in my generation that went through divorces and stuff like that. They found themselves renting a council flat out in the middle of the city somewhere, you know, and they rebuilt their lives back on from that. But you see, that's not there here. You know, I mean, it was there in the UK when I had my issues, but that's not available here.
Yeah.
And the reason why that has happened is that the councils and the government at the time turned their back on basically the population and tried to make ordinary citizens private landlords to soak up what was the social housing need at the time. They pushed it all away, like they've done everything else. Everything's now in an agency, a government department to deal with the agency or whatever. Pushed everything away from themselves that they have any modicum of responsibility over in looking after.
And Martin, I understand the way Sarah's father might feel. I mean, well, mind you, I'm in the same situation myself. I'm living in a hotel room. Now, thankfully, I have some great support from my partner. She's a wonderful person. I go there every weekend, and that's great. And that takes me away from that. But during the week, I'd be embarrassed to bring anybody to. I mean, I live in a hotel room. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a travel lodge. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's travel. Yeah, it's nice.
I had a job in London for 7 years. My first 3 years was living in a hotel room or in a B&B during the week, you know? And it's a huge struggle when your marriage breaks up and things that you've saved for and worked for all your life.
Gone.
Gone. Exactly. It, I mean, it actually, you know, it's the worst.
You do sit there, and I'm sure Sarah's father's doing the same thing, sitting there in the room reassessing your whole life and going, what was that all about? What was that? Why did I bother? Sorry, Sarah?
There's enough of us around. Like, he's enough kids that he kind of changes his routine every day. He goes to different houses, like, you know, to kind of keep busy and stuff like that. Now, and he is doing a few nictures on the side. But
good.
Like,
that's good. At least he has the support of his family and of you, Sarah, and your sisters and whatever else it is, or your brothers or whoever it is in your family, and I'm glad to hear that. But look, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Martin. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. Number is 087-188-0008. A lot of people text again. 35-year-old male, no home of my own after my relationship broke down. I have three young children and nowhere for them to come to stay with me. Life in this country is tough for a lot of young Irish men. It is, I'll be honest with you, mainly men who are finding themselves in the situation we're texting and WhatsApping in today at 087-188-0008. By the way, some people have been texting in and want to know some details of where they can send or find out if you want to rent out a room to students, because Beth was suggesting it at the start of the show. If you do want to rent a room out to students, by the way, we'll pass the information you've sent in as we pass on to Beth. But if you contact your local college or university, and I'm sure they'll have a student union there, you can contact them, I'm sure, and they'll be able to help you out as well. Patrick, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Patrick?
How are you now? Now,
Patrick, you've been couch surfing for the last, how many years now?
A year I've been doing it for.
A year, okay.
I left the family home, moved in with my ex-partner.
Right, okay. Are you separated or divorced or what?
No, we weren't married. We're flat. We're
just living together. Okay.
We're living together. Relationship broke down.
Okay. I don't need to know the personal details of why it broke down, but it broke down.
Okay. Yeah, it broke down. It happens. And since then, it's been kind of an ongoing battle. It's just trying to find. Can't rent in Dublin. It's too expensive.
Okay. Do you have children yourself?
I have three children.
Okay.
Three young children.
So that's going to be really difficult then if you want any access to the children. You've nowhere to bring them.
No. Lucky enough, I've gone to their parents' house there. To bring them, which has to be done.
Okay.
Can't have them stay with me. They haven't actually had a sleepover with me in over the year that I've been separated.
And when you say you're couch surfing, are you couch surfing in the same place for the last year or different places?
No, I've been to different places, friends, stuff like that.
Friends, couch family, up, yeah.
Friends, yeah.
Are you working in Dublin, is it?
I'm working full time in Dublin.
Okay, so moving out of the city is not an option, so unfortunately.
No.
I know the situation in Dublin is pretty tough. Even a one bed apartment, you're looking at $2,000.
Yeah.
And that's just not affordable.
It's not affordable. Nothing is affordable in Dublin. Like, even for myself or even a lot of other people out there that I know would be in similar situations with kids, it's when you have. A mix of boys and girls. You need to have the space for them. Yeah, kind of their own space and stuff like that. But
I'm listening to everybody's story today, and I absolutely empathise with everybody because, as I mentioned, I've already been in a similar situation. But so, what's the answer?
I don't know. That's the truth.
I mean, because I know how depressing it is, Patrick, and how depressing it must be for you to be on a sofa. And somebody else's, and you feel obliged to somebody else. You don't want to be doing that. You know, it's not what you worked, you know. Well, I know you're a fairly young man, still 35, but you've obviously worked a long time and whatever, been working a long time.
I've been working since I'm 13, though.
I'm only talking from personal experience, to be lying there at night looking up at the ceiling going, what was that all about?
Well, I've lied there, I've cried. No shame in saying that.
Yep.
I've cried about the whole situation, that where my life is. What do you do?
And where do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself in a year, in the same situation?
I hope not. But only time will tell. I just keep fighting. I keep plowing away.
Have you been to the social welfare and I don't know what you earn or what your earnings are, but if they're low enough, you could be entitled to HAP, which will help out a little bit. Have you tried that?
I have been looking down that road because I came from a social housing. I was in social housing. That's what I left.
Yeah.
They look for this and that and trying to get in. because of the time that it was things happened with COVID and everything else, unfortunately, it's a lot of things have been put on the long finger with the council. And they are making it very, very tough to get in contact, get paperwork, get anything, to get it in, to get them
through. So what you're saying is the bureaucracy and the hoops that you have to jump to are to make it too difficult for somebody like you.
It's crazy.
And all you need is a bit of help to get your foot back on the ladder again.
Yeah.
That's all you need. I mean, it's not like you might need it permanently. It's just something to get you going again.
No, but what they'd expect you to do is go into a hostel or something like that to go homeless, do a fail of some of the stuff that they have. And for me, that's just, I wouldn't
know. No, I wouldn't do that either.
There's stories that are out there about hostels. And I know there's, unfortunately, people out there that have...
Oh, we have to live in that situation, yeah.
But it's not nice. I know people walking in and they've taken pictures, they've taken videos of a room that they've been put in, and you couldn't even smear cotton. And then you have the likes of drugs and needles and everything else lying around. Like, that's not a place that I can be. It's not a place that I can bring my children. It's just not right.
Well, I if it helps or if it makes you feel better, I'm not going to make any feel better. I can tell you, I have a litany of messages here from people in exactly the same situation. And and on this occasion today, it happens to be the majority are male who have been in relationships, got divorced or separated or whatever it happens to be, and ended up basically couch surfing or sleeping rough.
Yeah.
Or sleeping sleeping in the car, as one guy mentioned.
Yeah, well, I've stepped in my truck.
Yeah.
You know, so I've done that. I can be lucky at times where, yes, I do have my parents there that would do that. But again, you don't
want to
be back in the family home.
No, that's the last thing you want. That's not good for the self-confidence and anything else. But look, Patrick, I wish you well. And I hope things get better for you really soon. I'm sorry to cut you a little bit short, but I've got to go into news. But I hope things look up for you, Patrick. And I hope things improve and your circumstances improve. And I hope you get a bit of help or support from somebody. The number's 087-188-0008. After the break, I'll talk to Peter Dooley from the Renters Union. See if we can get any improvement on this situation. We've had so many messages, inundated actually with messages and texts in relation to people who find themselves later in life, and this has been discussed, as I said, over the last 24 hours all across the media, which is not, as Sinead Ryan put it, not the type that can sometimes be described as homeless. In other words, people that you don't expect to be homeless, or by definition as being homeless. In other words, people who find themselves in a situation where they did have everything. They might have had a home, bank took it back, maybe they've in a broken relationship, whatever it is. And they find themselves literally, like our previous caller, Peter, who is couch surfing now at the age of 35 with three children and an ex-partner. I mean, these are difficult situations, very difficult situations. But what do we do about it? It does come back to the idea that everybody's entitled or has a constitutional right to a home. That would be difficult to do because that could be very expensive for the state to do that. But we do have a responsibility, particularly to people who have worked all their lives, paid their taxes. We spoke to Derry Ann last week and she had a good job, worked all her life. Unfortunately, her relationship broke down. Later in life, she lost her home to no fault of her own. Because obviously she was getting older and she retired. Now she's back working again. But anyway, she's renting a house, and now the person who's renting it is selling that house on, and she could find herself in a very difficult situation. So, I mean, what do we do to help people? How do we give people a little bit of a hand up in those situations who will never probably own their own home because they're not going to get a mortgage? Also, I do want to talk about narcissism in a few minutes, but just before I do that, I want to go to Peter Dooley, who's from the Dublin Renters Union. Good afternoon to you, Peter.
Good afternoon. Now,
you know me, Peter, it's a bit of a socialist idea to expect to pay for a house for everybody. And, you know, I don't think we could do that. I don't think we would have enough money to do something like that. But how do you have those, as we call them, the hidden homeless, which have been discussed in the media for the last 24 hours? How do we deal with that?
Well, absolutely. Well, it's heartbreaking, the stories you're hearing of so many people. And on the ground, we're meeting people daily that are in those situations, that are staying with friends on friends' couches, people we know who are sleeping in vans, and a lot of people who are forced into rough sleeping as well. It's absolutely heartbreaking, but it is preventable, because other countries have used examples, such as Finland, for instance, had a housing first policy for people who might fall, for instance, on, you know, unexpected homelessness, for instance, whether a marriage breakup or issues like that,
seems to be one of the very common reasons, by the way, that it happens.
Well, that would be it. But,
it's always the case that two are better than one, because currently in Dublin at the moment, you really have to be in a relationship to even afford a one-bed apartment, because you need to share it with somebody else because you couldn't afford it on your own.
Well, it's astronomical. We all know the rents are in Dublin, you know, going through the roof and everything.
Two grand for a one-bed apartment.
It's impossible for most people to try and rent anywhere. Like, but I mean, there are solutions there, as you said, just to the hard part of the point I was making about the housing first policy, but where people do fall, for instance, into that situation where the marriage break up, and they should be supported by the state, and there should be tailored support put in place for people like that as well, for instance, who need to get the proper support. And anybody who, for instance, falls in the homelessness. But again, to go back to the solution, the real solutions will be issues like giving long-term security to tenants that we fight for, issues like a rent freeze now currently as well, issues like a vacant home tax that I spoke to you about as well. So there are real solutions there, which the government, again, are just ideologically opposed to.
And why do you believe, when Darragh O'Brien brought out his housing plan there three weeks ago, mind you, it was overshadowed, of course, by the Catherine Zapone incident, but when he brought out the housing plan, there was nothing really in that. Now, he did mention about the vacant property tax. That was a mention. I don't know whether they'll do that. Maybe it's not in their best interest to do that, because many politicians out there probably have their own properties. But in saying that, I mean, do you believe that that's going to happen?
Well, they backtracked already, and the Department of Finance has come out with a recommendation, I think, currently, to say that they're not really pushed on pursuing a vacant home tax. But the idea of the vacant home tax is quite relevant if you look at the context of Dublin, where anybody could walk down the street and see so many goes a vacant derelict buildings, and on top of that, luxury apartments being kept empty by vulture funds that don't pay any tax on the rental income. That are keeping them empty, deliveries that keep the rents artificially high. And these aren't being penalised. Other countries, for instance, like Canada, have taxed them. In Barcelona, they basically tax
so,
them.
So what way do you work that out? So basically, you can leave it idle for a certain period of time, and after that period of time, unless you have a very good reason and get some sort of waiver for it, you have to pay a tax on it.
Yeah, well, I think a penalty would be, a penalty, for instance, I'll give you the example of Barcelona. What they did was they basically said to the owners of these vacant homes, that if they weren't rented out within, say, for instance, 3 months, they would buy them at half the market price and use it as public housing for people. So again, it would force them to be brought back into the market to actually have an immediate impact on supply and force down rents as well. It would just help alleviate the crisis we're in currently. And we see all the proliferation. I know your previous speakers were talking about student accommodation crisis and stuff. But, you know, you see the issues with student housing moving into long-term Airbnbs and all this sort of stuff, which is absolutely just wrong, because we should be supplying homes for people who need them in the country and city initially. And then if there's any excess stock, great, use for tourists if you want it. But
yeah, and I know the students are out protesting as well, because that's a whole other issue in relation to student accommodation, which is not available at the moment, temporary accommodation for students, which is very, very difficult for them. And I get that as well. But I think more needs to be done, Peter. I think we need to have a longer conversation about it.
Certainly, any time I'd be glad to talk about it. But just to finish on a point, which one about the homelessness in terms of the older people, for instance. I know one example, for instance, I was talking to a man last night who's in a hostel in town, but his marriage broke up as well. And he's from around the South Dublin area and comes across to the canal just to be familiar with areas he's living in, because he's from that community and he's in the north inner city in a hostel all the time. And it's horrific, like, and it's heartbreaking. But there are preventable solutions there, and proper support should be put in place by the state to do that. And I think this isn't something that's radical at all, Noel, or what you mentioned previously. You know, I think it's something that we need to start.
Okay, yeah, it's a common sense approach, really, isn't it, Peter? You're right. You are right. And for a change, we actually agree with each other.
No, well, that's good.
Listen, Peter, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on. Peter Dooley from the Dublin Renters Union. Okay, let me just go to Derry Ann before I go to the break, who I spoke about earlier on, because she was the reason I raised that topic today earlier on, about finding yourself in a really difficult situation later in life where you could end up literally on the street, because we talked to Derry Ann briefly about it the other night. But Derry Ann, how are you? Derry Ann, thank you for opening the airwaves today, because it was your influence the other night. And not only that, you might have noticed over the last 24 hours, it's been in the media. It was on TV last night. It was on RTE yesterday. I heard it on the radio as well.
Yeah.
So there's a conversation happening.
I believe it was on Joe yesterday, and I said, I'm sticking with Niall, because you, in fairness, you know, you give her the window of opportunity. And I just briefly heard some of it there because I was busy getting rid of rubbish. And
for people very quickly who don't listen to the nighttime show, Derry Ann, sure. your circumstance was and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this at all, but you worked hard all your life. You mentioned the other night you worked in Aer Lingus, you worked in cabin crew. You had a really good job. Of course, that would have been considered a very glamorous job in its day, of course, as well. And a very good, I mean, a lot of people would have wanted a job like that, particularly women at the time. And it was a great job. You were in a relationship. You were married. You had a nice home. You had a family. All of a sudden, it all goes pear-shaped. And and you lost, well, your family grew up, moved on. Your relationship broke down. You were in the house for a while on your own, and then unfortunately just couldn't afford it on your own because, you know, you got
Can I just stop you there? Because back then, men had more rights than women, and I didn't get to keep that family home. I had to get out. I was told, that's when I was told I could have a flat in Ballymun because there was no Fingal County Council, was only Dublin City. And that was, and then there was red tape where women on their own, whether you're single, divorced, whatever, could not get a mortgage on their own. And I spent 2 years getting through that red tape. So the journey started from way back then.
Mm-hmm. So you did manage to get that, but you couldn't afford it because unfortunately you were getting to a point in your life where, you know, full-time work, I suppose, and obviously your job in Aer Lingus, I'm assuming you retired from Aer Lingus, did you?
Well, I had to because I couldn't deal with having people mind the kids when I was away. I was on flights to New York.
Of course, yeah.
And I had to make a call on it for their sake, even though it was going to put me in another quandary. Now, I kept going. Sorry, if you want to keep going there, don't you?
No. Go on. You finish the story for me then. Go on.
Yeah. Well, I kept going. I got some more lucky breaks. And then I was putting kids through college and various things, and I never, ever had enough money. So I got caught into the remortgaging like half the country did, where that was way back when.
Back in the Celtic Tiger, yeah.
Yeah, when I should have been finished the mortgage because I never had enough money, no matter what job I did, to rear two kids on my own and to run a house and the whole lot. So I got caught into that. So then in the crash of 2013, I was one of the first to lose a job again. And to not be able to get a job at that point. And then the banks wouldn't deal with me. There was no boxes ticked. I offered it to the council. They couldn't take my home. They'd take it tomorrow if I had it today. And it snowballed into that. And then I did get to, I rented for twice, I think, in two places. And the rent just kept soaring. And then
what was it like, if I could just take you back a little bit to 2013, sure. when the bank took your house back off you? I mean, how difficult was that time for you?
Well, it was extremely. I literally remember having it rented out and having a tenant from hell and having to come back to Dublin because I'd gone up to stay in Meath where I was renting cheaper and trying to keep the mortgage going, and then to find that my tenant wasn't paying the rent. That time they were getting the rent. And I came home and when I looked at what they had done to my home, I mean, they cut electricity wires out the back. They took a thing out of a gas thing at the side of my house. If my daughter had been smoking and went around the side, the whole road would have been blown up. I don't mean simple damage.
They gutted the place.
And I remember sitting on the floor and just the tears coming down my eyes and going, I don't want to live anymore. No point. The kids are grand. They're very happy. Live their lives. I am out of here. I cannot do this. And I ended up in St. Patrick's for 4 months, which was horrendous.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear
that. Yeah, it was horrendous. But no, and it's the fact...
Well, look, you're turning the corner. I know you're in a better place now.
I'm in a better place. But why I'm prepared to talk is, and if you want to go to break, rent, or if you're coming back, I want to be a voice for other people who are like me and may not feel they can say it. Because there's an awful lot of shame attached to the fact. Not that I feel it anymore. I couldn't care less.
But it's a terrible feeling, and I don't want to ask your age on the air, Darianne, right? But you're...
I don't care, you know me.
Right, okay.
I'll be 68 in January.
But here you are, 68 years of age, you know, and you had everything. When I say everything, you had your home, you had your marriage, you had your kids, you did everything. And now you're 68 and you've nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's a terrible feeling to get to that point in your life and look back and go, what was that all about? I've worked all my life. For what? I have nothing to show for it.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm not one that wants to show material things. What I want is to have a door, a place to walk into, to close the door, that I can just say, it's mine while I'm alive. I always said I didn't even want houses to leave to kids. If they couldn't get up off their backsides and earn themselves to have their homes, they needn't think they're dependent on me. And they did do that, and they have done that, and they've never gone down the road of the social, but they have their own families and their own troubles and their own everything, and they're just not in the position to put a house anywhere for me, and I wouldn't even expect it from them.
No, and I don't think any parent really wants their children to do that. I mean,
no, they shouldn't have to.
No, and no more than I'd ring my son tomorrow and say, can I sleep in your sofa? So no parent wants to do that. They don't want to go back to their own children, because maybe you feel... there is some level of shame to that, is there? Maybe, I don't know, or maybe pride. Pride is probably a better word.
Pride, yeah.
So you're working now, because you got offered a job accidentally recently. And you're back working, and but the house you're living in, unfortunately, the landlord, to no fault of theirs, but they just made a decision to sell the house.
Yeah, and I will say that this is not me against landlords.
Of course.
They have to do what they have to do.
So when have you to be out by?
Well, originally I was on notice from March 2020.
Oh, but because of the COVID, of course. Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but there's still a question mark around whether that is still valid, and trying to get that information out of people is like pulling teeth.
Oh, but all that's going to happen is you're prolonging the inevitable anyway. So at some point you're going to have to go.
But no, what I'm going to say is, if I was still on that, I did secure a place in July, but I now have lost it because the HAP people are going to take 8 weeks to validate my paperwork. And I had got somewhere at a good price, at what I could afford. The lady was delighted with me, suited both of us. It's down the drain. And this is what...
And it's going to take... So it's the bureaucratic system. I'm running out of time, but it's the bureaucracy involved in trying to get that organised, to get you the housing assistance programme and to get you enough money so you can rent that off a house that you've actually found. And we need to change the way we do it. Derianne, I'm not cutting you short, but unfortunately I have to go to a break. But listen, thank you very much indeed. And thank you for raising that issue today, because a lot of people spoke, you might have heard them just before you come on the air earlier on as well. But there's the situation Derianne finds herself in, and many other people at that point in her life, looking back at your life when you've had everything. When I say everything, you had somewhere to live and you've had a relationship and you've had children, and then you look back and you find yourself with nothing.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.